I'll invite you to stand as you are able for our gospel reading, which comes to us from the gospel according to Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. It says, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to the man, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, Jesus is really starting to hit his stride here in Luke chapter 12. We've been riding along with him for a few consecutive chapters now, and we see this continued streak of really powerful teaching and powerful presence with not only his disciples, but the crowds as well. A few weeks ago, we heard Jesus teaching the parable of the Good Samaritan and the importance of seeing people as people. The next week, we heard about his encounter with Mary and Martha and trying to help his disciples fight that pull of worry and distraction to focus in on the message and the presence of Jesus. Last Sunday, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them about prayer, he gives them the prayer that we pray every week and call the Lord's Prayer. Then during the teaching, someone in the crowd stands up and yells to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, on the surface, this appears to be a squabble over an inheritance. Pretty straightforward, right? But Jesus knows that there is much more at stake here. He knows that this is only a little bit about the inheritance itself and much more about a conflict between siblings. And if there's an inheritance involved, it also means there's the added grief of having recently lost their father as well. To guide them along, Jesus warns them to be on guard. Right? To be on guard against greed. And this is one of the things we heard in the reading from Colossians. Right? There's this little parenthetical aside where it says he warns against greed and said, which is idolatry. Right? Greed, which is idolatry and takes us away from our focus on God. And Jesus warns them. He says, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, but it's about the relationships and the people, the neighbors that we are with, and those how those relationships shape us and form us along the way. He tells them a parable about a rich man whose land produces abundantly. He consults himself and decides to pull down his old barns and build bigger barns to store more. And this is the game that we know, right? You know what we need when we start running out of storage? We need more storage. You know what we need when our totes get to be too full? We need more totes. Yeah, we know this game well. And then the man continues to speak to himself. He says, "I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But here's the thing about that chase for bigger barns. it's a black hole. Right? There's no barn that is big enough when we enter that rat race. Because soon enough, the bigger barn gets to be filled, and you have to tear it down to build bigger, and on and on and on. Once the basic needs of this farmer are taken care of, anything more on top of that, we know that the happiness of more has diminishing returns. Right? The happiness that we get out of consuming, 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 more, 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 bigger and bigger barns, that peaks out and then starts to fade away. He could have chosen to be happy now with the barns that he has. He had what he needed to eat, drink, and be merry before that first barn was filled up. In fact, he could have invited neighbors over. He could have thrown lots of fun parties with the extras, invited the whole community. Everyone could have enjoyed it together. Because really, it's way more fun to relax and eat, drink, and be merry with other people. And that's the thing that gets me about this parable. You notice the man is talking to himself because there's nobody else around him. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up. He's talking to himself because there's nobody else around. Jesus is cautioning these brothers who asked about the inheritance against a life so caught up in more, more, more that we miss the fact that we have burned all the bridges we have. He's cautioning against more, 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 because that quest for more can put blinders up to the things and the ways that that quest for more gets in the way of our relationships. And as the man is realizing this, as the man has come to the conclusion that he needs to build bigger barns, God speaks directly to this man. There aren't a lot of times in Jesus' parables where God speaks directly to the person. God speaks directly to him and he says, "You fool." That can be kind of a disorienting turn, especially to our 21st century ears, because he's just doing the sensible thing, right? In our system, the ways that we view it now, this guy's essentially won the jackpot. He's a farmer whose land produces abundantly. Good for him. That's great. Right? We haven't been told of any sin or ill-gotten gains that he's had. We haven't heard of any injustice that he's perpetrated in order to make his land produce abundantly. He's lucked out on an abundant crop, and now he wants to set himself up with bigger barns forever and ever. And yet he's met with this word from God that calls him foolish. God continues. He says, "This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Because God always brings it back to people. God sees that he's all by himself too. "This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Jesus brings it back to people. God reminds the rich man that he's not able to take his ever-growing barns with him when he goes. And without any sort of meaningful relationship or connection or community, what happens? Ultimately, the bigger barns get run down. Moth and rust come in and destroy. I appreciate the urgency that Jesus preaches this parable, because it's just as urgent for us too. I've been caught up on that line from from God in this parable all week. This very night, your life is being demanded of you. That's an urgent plea. And it's a reminder that sometimes in our lives, Jesus brings us face to face with the fact that sometimes the things that you own wind up owning you. The things that you control wind up controlling you. I think the error that we make in building ever bigger barns is that we can start to lean more on ourselves and lean less on God. This is a theme throughout Scriptures. It's a theme throughout Luke's Gospel. Shows up all the way back with God's people in Exodus, right? There's a reason that the manna in the wilderness spoiled after a day. Teaching God's people to continue to rely on God, but we build up ever bigger barns. Once that barn gets big enough, we're going to stop relying on God. And we're going to think that we've done this all ourselves. We see this come up again and again in Luke's gospel. In Luke 14, just about a chapter later from this, Jesus tells another parable of a great banquet, where the invited guests refuse to accept their invitations because they have lands and families to support. They have their own barns to fill. And so they refuse to come to the banquet. Jesus concludes that parable by telling them that to become a disciple, you must give up the things that you have to follow. A few chapters later in Luke 18, Jesus meets a rich ruler who wants to inherit eternal life but cannot separate himself from his possessions. And it says he goes away grieving. It's that moment where Jesus tells his disciples that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a powerful statement that reminds us that the accumulation of things can block us sometimes from the main thing that God wants to do in our lives and in our community. And Jesus, early on, cautions against it. Instead, there's an invitation to set down the things that distract us, set down the things that we accumulate in our life, set down the things that can weigh us down and can distract us from caring for our neighbor, loving God and loving our neighbor in the way that Jesus calls us. Instead, we're called to give of ourselves, to show mercy to others like the Good Samaritan does, to gather around a table that has no end, to relax and eat and drink and be merry around this table of God that continues to feed us day after day with the grace and the peace that only God can give. I was talking with some friends this past week. We get together every now and again on Zoom and have a little Zoom coffee time. And one of them shared a poem for when things in the world seem heavy. And I don't know about you, but lately there are some things in the world that seem kind of heavy. And I think it was a spirit thing that she shared this in the week where we're diving into this parable in particular. And so I want to share this poem with you all as well and hope that it can bless you and can enrich you in the same way it has me. So this is a poem called Lightening the Load, by Francis Dorff. It says, the first thing we have to do is to notice that we've loaded down this camel with so much baggage that we'll never get through the desert alive. Something has to go. Then we can begin to dump the thousand things we've brought along the way until even the camel has to go. And we're walking barefoot on the desert sand. There's no telling what will happen then. But I've heard that someone walking in this way has seen a burning bush. My friends, this very night, our life is being demanded of us. Your life is being demanded of you. And yet every single time we can muster the courage to loosen our grip, to set aside the thousand things that we've brought along the way, it frees us to rest in the love and the care of God that continues to hold us day after day with grace upon grace. And when we are freed to rest in the love and the care and the sustenance of God, we are never let down. It frees us to not worry about the square footage of the barns that we build, but rather about the love and the care of God, whose love knows no end. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.